Hello, I'm Bob Seifert, and I'd like to welcome you to the Scripture Memory Study Plan. If you're excited about memorizing God's Word, then you'll enjoy this approach to one of the most significant things you can do to develop your Christian life. The Bible is no ordinary book. It is God's revealed Word to mankind. It is a book for all people, for all generations, and for every nation on the face of the earth. It is imperishable, indestructible, and everlasting. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Apostle Peter, in writing about the new birth in Christ, said of these first century believers, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Then he quoted from Isaiah 40:6-8, and wrote, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the wild flowers. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Now, if God has used this precious seed, His Word, to bring you into a relationship with Himself, then how much more important it is that you learn its truths and apply them to your daily life. Do you remember what happened in Luke chapter 24? This was after the crucifixion when the two downcast disciples encountered the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize Him at first, but later in the day, as they sat at the dinner table, their eyes were opened and they recognized Him just before He disappeared from their sight. Then it says in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" Think about it. If our risen Savior deemed it important enough to have a Bible study with two discouraged men walking down a hot, dusty road, then I wonder, isn't it just as important for us modern folk to learn all we can from His Word in this fast-paced, computerized 20th century? So many of us say, "Oh, but I don't have time for the Bible. There's so much to do. My family responsibilities are so demanding. There are so many activities I'm involved in. Plus, I've got to have some time for recreation and rest, don't I?" Well, that's for you to decide. Only you can determine your priorities. The problem is that we tend to do what is the most pressing thing, the most demanding at the moment, not necessarily what is the most important. Is that the way it is with you? Take Scripture memory, for example. A good many people will say, "I don't have time," as they imagine sitting for long hours committing chapter upon chapter of their Bible to memory. But I've got good news for you. Scripture memory doesn't have to take that long, especially if you invest the time wisely and use a proven and tested plan. Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, used to say, "Nothing pays greater dividends for the time invested than writing God's Word on the tables of your heart." On another occasion, he said he knew of no other means of intake that would help a new Christian grow faster than putting God's Word on the heart. In advocating this method, he was not suggesting that we shouldn't read or study the Bible, nor did he suggest we ignore hearing God's Word preached. But it was the immediate benefit that he saw in the lives of so many people who were led to Christ and helped in their growth. I recall my own experience of being handed a packet of cards with Bible verses on them many years ago while in the military service. I was told to read the leaflet inside and memorize the verses. I didn't object, since I always seemed to have plenty of time to stand in lines and wait. But little did I realize that the Holy Spirit would take those scripture verses and eventually bring me into a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Weeks went by, and I had had a taste of what seemed like a new, exotic flavor of ice cream. Wow, this is great! I was ready now for the triple dip special, and these fellows who had given me the first step presented me with the opportunity of memorizing the whole Navigator memory course. Well, with some coaching and help, I continued to write God's Word in my heart, and it has been an adventure ever since. So many others have found Scripture memory to be a vital link between this earthly life and the eternal Son of God. You may recall the testimony of Jesse Miller, one of the few men who had survived the horrible Bataan Death March in the Philippines during World War II. He said of his experience during the months as a war prisoner, "The Japanese took my Bible. I would rather have given up my right arm." But again, Scripture memory proved a blessing. "I was able to lead a Bible study group without it in the prison camps, because I had the Word of God tucked away in my heart." On another occasion, he said, "I don't think I'd have lasted either if God's Word hadn't been written in my heart. Again and again, in moments of danger and agony, a memorized passage would leap into my mind, and I'd know the comfort of Jesus at my side, sharing my suffering. How true are the words that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy when he said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I'm sure you're aware of the many POWs who cracked under the brainwashing of the Chinese during the Korean War. But we are told that those who had memorized Scripture didn't yield or crack under the strain. Then again, we've heard more recently of some of the agony that the Vietnam prisoners went through. I had the privilege of talking with Major Jerry Singleton shortly after his release, following 7 years in a North Vietnamese prison camp. He told me of how the men found the Holy Scriptures to be a vital part of their survival. For many, it was all they had to maintain their sanity. They would fashion quill-like pens out of bamboo. They would make ink out of ashes, and while someone would quote portions of the Bible they had memorized, say like the 23rd Psalm or the Sermon on the Mount, they would write these down on squares of tissue paper and then hide them in their sandals or clothing. When their guards weren't looking, they would take turns reading and memorizing the word because it was so precious to them. In later years, the North Vietnamese would let them have an English Bible for a few hours at a time. The POWs in the compound would crowd around under one dimly lit light bulb and take turns reading aloud from that Bible. Think of it. Have you ever considered what it would be like if suddenly a government announced the confiscation of all Bibles, tapes, or messages by godly men? If, say, hypothetically, they came into your home and demanded all your Christian literature, everything that related to your Christian faith had to be turned over. I mean everything, your Christian records, hymnals, anything that had Scripture on it. Why, we'd be famished for the Word of God. We'd die on the vine spiritually. As it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people perish. But there's one place you can hide Scripture where no one can ever take it away from you. That's right, what you have stored up in your heart, what you have memorized, no other person can ever take away from you. No one who has ever been successful in Scripture memory has said it was easy. Anytime you decide to read, study, or memorize the Bible, you'll meet with opposition. There are certain elements in the world that war against the believer and try to keep him from getting the Word of God into his life. In the first place, we have an enemy, Satan himself. He hates the Word of God and uses every trick in his bag to keep you away from your Bible. Let me illustrate this. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, we read the familiar account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. After fasting for 40 days and nights, the tempter came to him and tried to get him to prove he was the Son of God by doing certain spectacular miracles. On each occasion, Jesus answered the devil by quoting from his Father's word, "It is written." Each verse was carefully chosen and used to rebuke Satan. Finally, it says in verse 11, "Then the devil left him." Have you ever wondered where Satan went and what he must have thought after this? Possibly he went back to his headquarters, whipped and defeated with his tail between his legs. He may have called a staff meeting of his lieutenants, gathered them around and said, "Demons and fellow fallen angels, if we do nothing else on this earth while our time remains, whatever else our strategy, we have got to keep Christians from memorizing the Word of God." And I'm afraid he has succeeded with many such believers. How does he do it? Oh, he gets them to think they don't have a good memory. Or he gets them to think, "I can't memorize, I forget too easily." Or he gets them so busy they don't even think about Scripture memory. But look, you can remember your name, you remember your address, many phone numbers. You can recall lots of other information that you have not consciously memorized, but it has nevertheless found a way into your memory. There are two things, basically, that determine what you remember or you forget. First of all, you remember that which is important to you. By an act of your will, you consciously place a certain fact in your memory bank. Your mind uses it, and then when the information is no longer needed, the mind forgets it, as we say, and it slips down into the subconscious. Secondly, you remember what you haven't consciously acquired, but what you have heard or used over and over again many times. If I say to you, for example, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," and then ask you to finish that line, most of you will be able to say, "How I wonder what you are." Now, when did you memorize that? Well, most of us have heard that frequently during our childhood and simply have it indelibly fixed on our memory. Another tactic that Satan uses to keep the believer away from Scripture memory is to get him satisfied with mediocrity in his Christian life. He gets us to think in terms of lower standards of excellence, especially as it concerns the Word of God being applied to our daily lives. we ease up and let distractions or other things come in and choke out the Word of God. As Jesus said in Mark 4:19, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the Word, and it becomes unfruitful." This is why a good beginning in a scripture memory plan is so important. A half-hearted start by a runner never won a race. I've met so many who have started out whole hog in scripture memory, but very few who have continued through a lifetime. It takes time and effort to develop some good memory habits. That's one reason we have designed this course, so that you can get off to a good start and lay a good foundation in your life. Here's what we have included. 1. The use of the topics help you to associate the verse with key doctrines in your life. 2. The study of the context helps you to understand the meaning of the verses and gives you added insight. 3. The use of the cards allow you to carry the verses with you and review them in spare moments during the week. 4. If you're doing this in a group, you'll find mutual encouragement by quoting your verses to each other as well as discussing the passage. Always repeat the reference before and after the verse. 5. Strive for word perfection when you initially commit the verse to memory. This will help to keep you from lapsing into sloppiness in your initial efforts. Remember the motto, "Well begun, half done." After you get going, slowly at first, you learn little things along the way that will help you to retain the verses so that you can continue, reviewing them out loud when you have the opportunity, like driving to work in your car, with the car radio off, of course, sharing them with a friend, say at lunchtime or during a coffee break, or even quoting them over the phone to someone, or meditating on the verse when you go to bed and as you fall asleep thinking on God's Word. You see, what I'm advocating is a principle. Overlearning is the basis of retention. In the plan, we express it with three very important words: review, review, review. You will be amazed at the number of times in a day or week that the Holy Spirit will bring a memorized scripture to your mind. Sometimes in opportunities for witnessing, God will direct your thoughts to a passage that is needed for the occasion. In Proverbs 22:17-18, it says, "Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them ready on your lips." Now, you can use scripture memory in your daily life. Most Christians who are walking in fellowship with the Lord will want to share Christ with others. We are His witnesses, and we should want to be effective in our witnessing. One way is to have certain key verses of scripture tucked away in the reservoir of our hearts. Then, as in 1 Peter 3:15, we'll be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Perhaps this is what the author of Proverbs 22:18, King James Version, had in mind when he wrote, "For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They, that is God's words, shall be fitted in your lips." You might think of the verse that you've memorized as arrows of God's truth that are stored in the quiver of your heart. Then when needed, the Holy Spirit takes one of those arrows, fits it to the bow of your lips, and fires it into the heart of that person you're witnessing to. Isn't it exciting to see God's Word work in a person's life? You don't have to depend on our own ideas and wisdom. We can let them be helped and encouraged by His Word. Even as the prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Dear friend, there are many people walking around these days who are weary. They are discouraged and without hope. All they need is a word in season. Why not God's Word? Another benefit in having God's Word stored up in your heart is for your own growth and encouragement. Remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet when he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." That's Jeremiah 15:16. He found nourishment in them. He found joy and courage in them. And you can too by hiding them in your heart. It's also important to realize that God's Word memorized will also help us to stay on the path of holiness in our Christian life. The believer in Christ faces many temptations in his daily encounter with life. The psalmist did too, and so wrote, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." From Psalm 119:9-11. Now remember, the enemy will fight you on this. He'll try to discourage you. It's a battle. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are in a spiritual conflict. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." I urge you to pray that God will encourage you to begin now. The that God will help you to continue, and that God will use you for His glory. I'm praying that God will bless you as you memorize and write His Word on the tables of your heart.